This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You want to get the most for your money. That's why more Mazda buyers choose Ramsey Mazda. Lease a new 2025 Mazda CX-50 all-wheel drive, only $249 a month. Or buy and get 0.9% APR financing for 36 months. Start shopping now at RamseyMazda.com. Choose wisely. Choose Ramsey Mazda.
Call 833-853-2970 for details. Excludes tax, title, and registration. Zero security deposit. VIN SN316458. MSRP 32295 and 331-25.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Falcons also put it up on the Falcons Twitter page. And follow them because the message is this. It's basically an image of Kyle Pitts leaving or entering the tunnel, coming out of the tunnel on the field.
All right.
And kind of doing the Superman thing with the eight as he's coming on the field. And it says, year four had its ups and downs, but we prevailed. Year five, I'm coming 10 times harder than I ever did. Hashtag we ball. So, you know, whether this comes from if Kyle put the time in to put this image out there or he's got people that work for him that do that or his agent put it together. I mean, first things first, last year we didn't prevail at anything. You know, I mean, he was 20th amongst the receivers. We've done the numbers. I mean, his prevailing would be another one's failing, Carl, I guess, one way to put it. If you feel that the season ended, had the season ended after week nine, we could have said that we prevailed. We were 6-3 and in the catbird seat in the division. And we know how that turned out. But Kyle goes on to say that he will work 10 times harder. And needless to say, the reaction amongst the people that saw what I posted is, well, dare I say, a little negative, saying, well, yeah, it's a contract year. No blank, Sherlock.
I told you guys all offseason last year that the most important piece was a guy named Kyle Pitts. And it didn't happen. Now, it's not Kyle's fault that our quarterback's arm fell off and he threw the interceptions in, you know, 9 and 5 weeks. But the impact that we needed from him last season, which I thought was going to completely open up this offense, again, another year went by and we didn't get it. So now I'm supposed to believe that in year four, Mike, that it's all coming together. It's all going to happen. He's going to be that unstoppable force that we've talked about for the last 5 years. And now I'm supposed to believe that he's coming 10 times harder, as he quotes here, than I ever did before. My question, we know this, Kyle. My question is, why has it taken this long for you to come 10 times harder when you were taken with the expectations of coming to change a franchise with the fourth overall pick? Like, whatever you're saying here, whether it's effort, energy, willpower, route running, whatever this is, it should have already been there. But I'll give him the benefit of the doubt, Mike, because we need him. If he's going to be on the team, I need him to perform. So if he's going to say, I'm coming 10 times harder, more power to you, Kyle Pitts. I surely hope so. But I have been very disappointed in your performance up to this point. And I've been touting you as the difference maker in this offense, and it is yet to happen.
Yeah, I mean, it's at the point where even if he balled out this year, if he had a big year, I mean, I still don't know if it's a slam dunk, to bring him back.
I agree.
Because you would have had two really productive years. Now, again, guys, I don't know how you rate production. I know some of the fanboys out there don't like hear anybody getting criticized, but he was 17th in yards per game. He averaged 35.4 yards per game. He was 22nd in receptions amongst tight ends in the NFL. So this is a fourth overall pick, and this gets us back. I know some guys get upset when we go down this road. It is what it is. You're the fourth overall pick. You're expected to be an elite. George Kittle, you can be anybody. I mean, any of the really good tight ends, Travis Kelce. Heck, Trey McBride is becoming a star for Arizona. Brock Bowers, in his first year, did everything that you'd expect him to do as the fourth overall pick. Jonnu Smith had much better numbers, the guy who was actually on the same team as him 2 years ago. So, as a fan, yes. I mean, if this is something that somebody in his camp thought would be a good idea, not really. Because it's to Carl's point, it conveys what the hell you've been doing the first 3 or 4 years here.
Yeah, it should never, I'm going to come 10 times harder. That should be your mantra from this jump, from the start, how I'm going to approach this. And fine, if it took you a few years to get it, okay. But Mike, I don't know, man. I can't kill this, because if this is heartfelt and him somehow the message has gotten through that, hey, dude, your career is going to be over if you have another year like you've had, because it's going to be hard to convince teams that you're a difference maker.
Yeah, I mean, first-round picks always do have that extra chance because other teams feel, I can fix him, I can get more out of him. But you're right.
Unless you don't love football.
Right, unless you're not passionate about it. That's why.
And Vic Beasley's a prime example of that. This idea that get number one picks or first-round picks get a second chance, Mike, that's not always the case. What we don't know about Kyle, and I don't know if you want to answer it or not, is does he love it?
No, he doesn't love football.
Okay, so then I don't know if he gets another
shot. No, what I'm saying is, but first-round picks always do get other opportunities in the league, because the value of being a first-round, especially being a fourth overall pick, he will get more opportunities. Now, what he chooses to do with them, only time will tell. But I'm with you. I mean, this guy has had every opportunity. Now, the thing that always comes back in this argument is the delivery system, the quality of the quarterback play. Does Zach Robinson really have a plan for him in this offense? But then there's simply the eye test. When you hear players that call the game for a living, that play the position, when you hear what Greg Olsen says, when you hear what Rodney Harrison says, a guy that big shouldn't be that soft. You know, that I would think resonates. And then the coach, his coordinator, and general manager all said they hope to see the best Kyle Pitts. Right? How many times have we heard that said this last year?
Mike, I've been saying he's soft all year long. All year long. Too big. Guys smaller than him should be taken advantage of. They should be using his height and his size. All this stuff we've been talking about. And that's why I'm so frustrated when you bring up, not you, but just people generally talks about Kyle Pitts, and then he puts stuff out there like this. It's like, dude, you got to do something. Show up.
Right. So now it'll be the chemistry between Michael Penix. So for those that want to make excuses, it's technically another quarterback. Now, he did bat the first ball that was thrown to him for an interception against the Giants late in the season.
Didn't help.
He did also have, you know, a really nice catch in traffic against the Commanders. The kind of stuff, the gritty red zone play that should define Kyle Pitts in that Commanders game with the season on the line.
What do you guys think, by the way? I mean, look, you've heard us. You know how I feel about this. I don't know how you feel. Maybe you feel like, hey, dude's being sincere and honest, man. He's going to come out and have a good year for us. And, you know, all we can do is hope so. But I'm so far removed from believing that this can happen that it's almost going to be like a miracle for me to see it take place. And then if you say, well, Dukes, what's a good year?
Better than what he's put on the stat sheet the last 2 years.
Can he do what he did his rookie season?
Yeah, 1,000 yards. But the touchdowns, this is the red zone thing. This is where we get into, are they using him the right way? Does the quarterback have the confidence in him? The two touchdowns against Tampa Bay, the one where he nearly left the ball on the pylon. But that's the kind of effort we're expecting. I'm not expecting you to have two touchdowns every game.
No.
But when you're drafted fourth overall, that's what you're supposed to be. So, guys, unless you are just simply a Kyle Pitts apologist, everybody else around the league looks at this guy and says he's a bust as the fourth overall pick.
Mike, didn't you tell me, was he starting at the end of the year?
No, technically he was the backup.
I'm sorry?
If you look at the snaps per game, he was actually having less than other tight ends on this team.
404-726-0929. No way in hell that should happen. No, I don't care who the quarterback is. There's no way that should happen. There's just no way that should happen.
Right.
And what we're telling you is, as the season went on, the production went down, right? And the coaching staff made a conscious decision to play others over him. Why?
Number one, the blocking's never gotten better. That's part of it. I do think later in the season that was a big part of it. But you're right. I mean, guys, you look at the numbers. We talk about the usage rate. Now, the one thing is, he will actually pop. The one area that he does pop statistically is the yards per catch, because there's so few of them, and generally he can get down the field. That's what makes him so tantalizing and yet frustrating, because you should be the guy living down the seam and breaking those big plays. But, yeah, man, you go back and you look at the receiving numbers. 1 for 7 with a drop against the Giants, which led to a turnover.
Yeah. Look, I
7 yards, one catch. That's not, you weren't drafted fourth overall to do that with the season on the line.
I hope things change for him. Again, great post. If it's sincere and heartfelt, Mike, and this is what he believes, that, hey, I'm coming strong and I'm doing things this offseason I've never done and I'm going to be a different kind of player.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this March. Breakdowns of every region and every game, who are the Cinderellas, and which team's cutting down the nets. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Great. But I can't get excited about it because I've been excited for you and about you for 3 years. And now I just don't even know what to believe because I'm tired of blaming it on other people. It was the coach. It was the quarterback change. Then it was another quarterback change. Then it was an offensive coordinator. Now it's another coach. Not like at some point, man, look yourself. We got to look ourselves in the mirror and say, hey, either I can do the job or I can't. And I don't know, Mike, maybe he's finally done that and said, I don't care who's throwing me the ball. Like, I don't know, Ja'Marr Chase
right.
or Justin Jefferson or any of these other guys that just make plays. No matter what their position is, and they go, I don't care who's throwing me the ball. I'm going to make plays.
Well, I mean, we talked about it. I mean, you're supposed to be – I don't know. What did you expect a guy who's drafted the highest pick the Falcons have had in decades? You expect him to be a George Kittle or what Brock Bowers was last year, what Travis Kelce or Dallas Goedert have become. You know, it's just – you've got to be better. And you said it last year. This year, I do put a little bit of onus, I should say, onto Zach Robinson.